Hello, this is Elvira, and I welcome you to the Fruit Factory. The Fruit Factory is a prophecy and teaching ministry that is helmed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This ministry is a call to true Israel and the End Times Church. It is time for harvest. The Lord Jesus Christ is sounding the trumpet, and only the fruitful will make it. When I talk about the true Israel here, I'm not talking about what we currently know as the Jews of the world as of August 2024, but rather the Lord's people who are still scattered around the world. They are usually dark-skinned, of African descent. That is the Judah tribe. They are found in Africa, partly, just it's not all of Africa. Central, West, a bit of Eastern Africa, and some Southern tribes as well. They are found in the United States, in those who are called African Americans. They are also found in the different islands where the transatlantic slave trade took place. Part of Judah is also in Europe and in all the other continents, and this will be through immigration. So go there to look for jobs, to study, or those who were brought during the colonial period to work as slaves. Now, the rest of Israel is on every single continent in the world. And with the times, the thousands of years that have gone past since the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and his ascension to heaven, Israel has gone through major changes in color. So Israel has married other people where she exiled, because she exiled throughout the entire world, and part of her remained by herself and only lived with each other, like was the case with the Indians of America before the British came and took over the land. But some of her mixed up with other tribes and had children with them and so forth. So the way that Israel will look like today would be in all shades and colors, mixed up with different kinds of peoples around the world. So with that out of the way, I am going to go into this prophecy that the Lord has given us to discuss and to look into the future of what our lives will be like once we are regathered, as we are regarded and brought back to the land of the promise. We are going to be living on the land that the Lord promised to Abraham. And you can read Isaiah 60 to know more about that promise of the regathering. Isaiah 60 goes in great depth about what the new Israel and the new Jerusalem are going to be looking like, what life there is going to be like. And so the Lord has given us these prophecies. This is the third prophecy that I am publishing in this series that I titled Life in True Israel. Life in True Israel. This is the third prophecy that touches on that. This prophecy is titled Guilty on All Counts. And I received this prophecy from a vision that the Lord gave me on August 2nd, 2024. And so, the vision started with a very excited young man. He was walking down the street and talking to his friends. He was motivating them and trying to persuade them to partake in something exciting that was coming up. This was evening time, and he was dressed up, you know, to go out, like a true evening out. And he was so hyped up about the whole thing. He was very excited about it. And he was rallying people on the street as he walked down the street. He was rallying people to come with him and join him to go to do this thing or to go to this event. And then I saw a huge car that looked like, you know, these cars that are limousines, but are huge. Like they have a van. They look like vans in size and height, but they have this long, this length of a limousine. So this is what this car looked like. I don't know how they're called. I'm just describing you what I saw. And the car was parked at the end of the street. And that is a car that he was walking towards. And that is the car where he was going to get into. And he was making, as he was making his way down the street, just before he stepped into the car, he saw a young girl who was standing there. And he spoke to her. And he was galvanizing her. He was telling her about all the great things that they are going to be up to and that she doesn't want to miss it and so forth. He was selling this thing to her with all his energy, and every piece of his will was into this. Until now, he had been talking to people, but no one was really paying attention and no one was joining him in this thing, until this young woman came along and she got persuaded, she got convinced, and she joined him. So then and there, they got into that car. And as they were stepping into the car, now my view was that of the inside of the car, right? So I could see the inside of the car. And I saw that there was a huge object that was carried by some of the men that were there with him. They were also partaking in the party, but they had already been with him. So they had gotten out of the car. They were waiting for him inside of the car, and they got out of the car. And just before he stepped in with this young woman, these men carried a huge object that looked like, this object looked like a rug. You know, when a rug is rolled on itself, maybe to be stored or to be transported, that kind of cylinder shape, huge rug rolled up like that and tied up and with all kinds of the plastic and tape on it. So the inside was not visible, but that is what the shape looked like. And these men carried it and put it into the car and entered the car themselves. I did not really understand what was going on, what was up with that rolled rug, but they did that. And since the car was so large, this rug could fit there without really bothering anyone. So they just pushed it to the side and they got in, and the young girl entered, the young man entered, and they took off. The car started and they took off from there. And then I saw them at the arrival area, so the place where they were actually going. And it looked like a nightclub street. You know these streets where there are bars everywhere, there are clubs everywhere, all through the street. It's just bar after bar, club after club. So this is what this place looked like. And this was not Israel. I knew that he had journeyed to come to this place. So this was not inside Jerusalem. It was not inside Israel. It was a place that was close enough that you could get there in a short drive, but it was not inside Israel. So when they arrived, they all got out of the car and they began to walk towards a club. And once more, this young man was enticing people on the street to join him. He was telling them that he would pay for everyone's entrance fees, that he would be paying for the drinks. He was, you know, this kind of persona. You've probably seen this kind of persona, this kind of person in a movie before. The party boy who is overtly confident, and he has money, and he's hyping people up to join him in his party life and so forth. That was the persona that was being shown from this young boy. And he was young. He was not 25 years old. He was very young. And so, as this happened, I watched them walk into the club, and the scene suddenly cut. It cut to another scene, another vision of an older man. He must have been 35 or 40 years old. And this man was running with all of his energy, and every piece of his being was running for his life. And this was daylight, so we had gone into a different setting with different people. It had nothing to do with what had been going on at the club scene. So this man was running. When I say running, he was running, and he was running and looking over his shoulder. And he was running, when the scene started, he was running down staircases in a very crowded place. It looked like a market. You know the way markets are in not the modern markets that you see in Europe or in America, where they have these really nice stands and you come and you order behind a stand. You know that kind of stuff where they have little food trucks and everything is well organized, everything is super well disposed. It wasn't that. It looked like this market in Africa, where one person has their merchandise on the floor, the next person has a nicer place for their merchandise, and the one next to that person has a less nice place. You know what I mean? Like, some, it's just according to what you can afford. You're sat there and you're selling whatever you can sell. This is how this place looked, this market. And I knew that this was Israel. Okay, when I saw the man running, when I saw the setting, I received in my spirit that this was Israel. And the market looked like a market where anyone was allowed to sell their goods, to sell their fruits and vegetables and so forth. There was no standardized way of you must have a big truck and drive here and have the infrastructure to set up a nice looking stand and whatnot. No. So this man was running for his life down these staircases, and the place was crowded. The market was crowded. So he was pushing people around. You've seen this scene in a movie before, probably. Someone getting chased in the middle of a market. He's pushing people around. He's looking over his shoulder. It looked very much that way. And I could tell that someone was chasing him because he kept looking behind him, looking over his shoulder, running, pushing people and looking over his shoulder. And then eventually he stopped running and he started walking and he was smiling. And you know this grin when you've gotten away with something, you know, that was the smile that he had. And he started walking and he knew that, okay, I've just gotten away with a crime. And then what happened was very interesting. The man that had been running away and looking back as if someone was chasing him disappeared. He just abruptly disappeared from the marketplace. And I saw him appear in front of the Lord's altar in the temple. I have explained in previous prophecies that the Lord showed me his altar in the temple, in the temple of Jerusalem, as the place where he will dwell in the restored Israel. Very much like it has always been the case in the past. His presence is there, and it is from there that, as I saw, he ruled over his people as their God, Father, and King. And his presence on the altar at the middle, at the heart of the temple, was represented as a light. So this man disappeared from where I was seeing him in the marketplace, and he appeared in front of the altar. And when I saw him there, it's as if the camera shifted from his stands and showed the people who were standing next to him, and the same people from the partying thing that was happening in the previous part of the vision were there as well. So the party guy and his party girlfriend, there were three people in total. The Lord spoke out of the altar. The altar spoke to them, right? And there was an assembly in the temple. They were not, it was not just the three of them. The temple was full. And there was an assembly there. And the Lord spoke and was asking them for an account of what had happened, of what they had done, and asked them to repent of their sins. And the party guy, who had been rallying the entire town, the entire nation, it seemed, to be going out to the club, was the first to answer. The Lord asked him to confess and repent of his crimes. And this guy began to justify himself. He began, first of all, quietly in the beginning. In the beginning, it was quiet. He was just talking, and he was talking back at God. He was talking back in defiance. And then he started to become loud. He started to speak loudly, and he got louder and louder. He began to be quite vindictive and telling God that he did nothing wrong. And the Lord was just listening to him and asked him a few times to repent. Very calmly, he asked him to repent of the orchestrated clubbing. He said that it is not only that you were involved in drunkenness, going out to clubs, knowing that clubs are altars of Satan, but you also were trying to rally the entire town to do so with you. This is what the Lord was telling this young man. And this young man would not listen. He once more began to be vindictive and loud about what he had done, saying that he did nothing wrong. He has the right. People have the right to have fun. You know, stuff like that. It is not a crime and whatnot. And I was watching this scene and I was thinking to myself, this boy must have caught a demon or two. This is not normal. How do you talk back to God? Are you crazy? And there was no doubt that this was the Lord God, Yahweh, speaking, by the way. So this boy was going on and on and on in defiance and arrogance. And as he was speaking and getting louder and louder, he just fell there and died on the spot. The Lord struck him dead. No one who was watching this scene in the temple was shocked by his death. But it is those who stood in front of the altar with him who began to shake. They began to tremble in fear. You could see the panic on their faces. And at this moment, my vision or my point of view shifted. It shifted from the front of the temple where the altar of the Lord was to a corner of the temple. And I could see both places. I could simultaneously see what was going on at the altar, but I could also see that there was this young girl. He was at behind a corner, behind one of the pillars of the temple, in the corner at the back. And she was not very, she was completely discontent with the judgment that had been applied to this young guy, this young boy. Then she began to speak. It began with murmurs of her, you know, speaking to herself. You know, when you're discontent, but you're not really saying it out loud, you're just murmuring things to yourself because you're discontent, you're not happy about something. You know, children do this quite a lot. And then it grew, just like it happened with that boy. She went from just murmuring her feelings to herself to talking openly about it so that the people around her could hear her. And then she began to shake her head, viciously. She was just shaking her head like this from left to right. You know when you're seeing, you're doing the no sign with your head, but quickly like, no, this should not be happening. Why is this happening? And she began to get angrier and angrier. And as she was talking like that and I was watching her, I just saw her disappear. Like, gone. And then she appeared in front of the altar, restored. She was stood there and she appeared next to her friends, or next to that guy's body who had laid there, his corpse. She appeared, and at this moment I understood, the Lord put in my spirit to understand that this boy had been one of her best friends. And when she appeared there in front of the Lord, still with the two others who still had their judgment coming, right? They were still standing there in front of the altar on the side. And the Lord spoke to her in a very quiet and kind way. And he asked her to repent of her blasphemy, her rebellion, and her idolatry of her friend, whom she had exalted above the Lord and his judgment. He started listing her crimes out to her, that in just this little moment where she had been, you know, seething about the death of her friend, the judgment that was applied to his own arrogance and defiance of God. He explained everything, long list of sins in just those few moments that I saw her seething there at the back of the temple. But she did not repent. She kept talking back arrogantly. And she began angry in her vindictiveness against the Lord. She was acting exactly in the way that her friend was acting before, just before that. She came with the exact same attitude, with the exact same ways of talking to the Lord, of responding and of being vindictive. Well, it was clear that whatever had possessed her friend was also possessing her, because this, I was watching this and thinking, who are these children? Who taught you to do this? How can you be speaking to God and you're talking that way? It was clear that these two were sharing in the same character, the same attitude. And it is one of the dangers, right, of company, because you start inheriting, you start getting imparted with whatever is going on in your friend's life, whatever is coming out of their mouth. The longer you stay around people who, or around a certain group of people, the more you are going to have the same tendencies and act in the same way. That's because your eyes and your ears are gates. And there is such a thing called a spiritual atmosphere. When you're in someone's spiritual atmosphere, whatever it is that is ruling over them, if you do not have a strong, if you're not strongly grounded in God, their atmosphere is going to defile you. And whatever is active in their atmosphere is going to impact you. And before you know it, you're going to start sinning the sins they are sinning, speaking the way they speak, and partaking in their sin, partaking in their lifestyle. That is why they say of, show me your friend and I'll show you who you are, something like that. It's very true, because again, atmosphere and impartation. We talked about the impact of impartation and how it works for believers and non-believers, because it is the same whether you're a believer or not. These are spiritual laws. It doesn't really matter. It's going to have an effect. That is why I've said before here, why are you still listening to secular music? You're being imparted with these people's demons, because you're allowing their atmosphere, you're allowing their words to penetrate your soul and your spirit through your ears. Same thing goes with these satanic movies that are produced in Hollywood. Anyways, let's continue with the vision. And so, as she was talking this way to the Lord, it is as if there was a camera that was moving through the room, and I could see people's faces around the temple, right? It's as if I was the eyes of the Lord in that moment, and what he was seeing, I was seeing, and he was patrolling the temple and looking at the people, and I could see people's reactions on their faces. And as this young girl was talking in that way, people's faces were filled with shock. Okay, so there were different kinds of reactions. Some of them were pure shock of thinking, what is she doing? Because she was loud. When I tell you loud and angry, imagine someone who is being falsely accused of something and they are trying to get arrested, and how they would react, how they would be violent, vindictive, loud and angry. This is how this young girl was acting, and she was speaking that way at the altar, directly in front of God, directly at God. People were shocked. There was even one woman who put her hand over her mouth like this. You know, when you're so shocked that you put your hand over your mouth and you're just watching something in this absolute disbelief at what your eyes are seeing. That is how this woman was. She was thinking, I cannot imagine that this girl is doing this. And there were other people who were just shaking their heads as if to say, what a pity, right? There were others who were looking with this look on their face that said, she definitely wants to die. She's asking for it. And then there were people who were thinking, this young generation will have to understand the hard way, right? And then I saw that the people who were standing there in front of her at the altar, so the two other people, at this point, the two other people who are still standing there are the running guy, the one who had been running in the market, and the young girl who had been picked up by that party boy to go out partying. And I see this guy, the running man, right, looking at this girl next to him, and it's as if the Lord put me in his heart, revealed to me what was going on in his heart, and he was just thinking, shut up, what, stop talking. He actually was so close to put his hand over her mouth and scream to her, stop talking. He was visualizing it in his head, that can I just put my hand on her mouth and ask her to stop talking. Anyhow. But he was just standing there and watching. And she kept speaking, getting bolder and bolder, louder and louder. And then, well, guess what? She fell and died. Just like the friend that had been struck by God. Then and there, she also got struck by the Lord. Then and there. And there was not a cough in the room. There was not a teary eye in the room. Nobody was surprised. And actually, when the Lord showed me the reaction of people, some older people were even nodding in agreement, like, yep, well done. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. She looked for it. She was asking for it. Yes, yes. Good. You know, that is how they were. The older people were nodding in agreement with the Lord, like, yep, mm-hmm. Good judgment. She got it. She got what was coming for her. And after she fell, there was silence and these reactions, but no one was speaking. It was just reactions, people's faces, facial expressions. And then the Lord gave me the knowledge of what people are thinking. That's why I'm saying that these elderly people were nodding in agreement, and in their hearts they were thinking, well, she asked for it. And then in the midst of this silence, a giant scroll appeared in the middle of the temple. It appeared right there in front of the altar. It was floating in the air. It was hanging up in the air, and it was a giant scroll. When I say giant scroll, the scroll rolled up This crow could have had the size of a house, of a normal house, the height of a house. This is how giant this crow was. And it appeared there in front of the Lord's presence, in front of this light that I told you that the Lord has shown me as his presence in the temple. It appeared there, and then there was this little thread that was tied to keep it scrolled up, right? Rolled up. And this thread kind of untied itself by itself. And when it did, the scroll unraveled in front of the entire assembly. And the title of the scroll was Recorded Transgressions of XYZ. So there was the name of the young man, the party boy. His name was written there. I just do not recall what the precise name was. But it was the title of the scroll was Recorded Transgressions of that young boy. And it's as if now when that scroll unrolled that way, now it was as if the scroll was a screen in front of me that I could read from directly, right? And I saw that it was a long list of transgressions, and each one had details of all the recorded incidents of that transgression written in smaller text next to it. And I could not read all of the transgressions. Please forgive the thunder you're hearing in the background. It's about to rain pretty badly here, but I will not stop the recording, so it might get a bit loud with the rain and the whole thing, but please just focus on my voice. My voice will override the background noise, so please just focus on the voice, please. Thank you. So this is what I read. I only read the first four in the first four transgressions, and the first one was idolatry, the second one was drug dealing, and the third one was promotion of drunkenness and prostitution. The fourth one was fornication. When the assembly saw the scroll with this long list of transgressions, they unanimously, in a big sound, gasped. Like, my goodness. They were in complete disbelief. People's mouths were wide open at what this young man had been doing in secret this entire time. They could not imagine that there are people in Israel who do stuff like this. They were shocked. From the oldest to the youngest, everyone gasped. People were clutching their pearls at the profanity that had been written and recorded from this young man. And the transgression, there is one of the transgressions, the one that was called promoting drunkenness and prostitution, especially the prostitution part, is as if that word became brighter, like illuminated itself. You know when you're working on a computer and you come with a cursor on the computer's cursor on something that you want to click on and select, sometimes there will be an effect. Either the text will become larger or there will be some gleaming light or something like that on it to show that you're about to select this. So this is what happened. It's as if that promoting prostitution was clicked on and selected. And when it did, the title got enlarged on the scroll, and the rest of the text of the scroll was kind of pushed to the background, and a window opened on the scroll and began to play a video, one of the recorded incidents from that particular transgression began to be played. This was all playing out in the General Assembly in front of everybody. And in this video, the young man was taking money from men after they had had sex with women, and he was thanking them for their business. So I saw this man in a corridor that had many different doors that represented different rooms. And I saw men coming out of those rooms you know, trying to tidy themselves up somewhere, closing their trousers or tightening the buckles of their belt or whatnot to indicate that they had just been inside with women. And these men gave this young boy money and thanked him. And he was like, oh, yeah, did you enjoy yourself and stuff like that? Thank you for your business. I will see you again soon. And as the video played, the crowd began to shout in grief. People were clutching their pearls. Others were holding their stomachs, looking at this, wanting to vomit. And then more evidence started to be played out in front of the crowd. We saw that this young man used to go to neighboring towns, neighboring towns of the neighboring countries to do all kinds of evil. So he would take his big car and whatnot and drive out there and go and do the stuff that he wants to do there. And then return to Israel and return to Jerusalem. This was particularly taking place in Jerusalem. And then he will return as if nothing happened. But the thing is, he was trying to get people to join him. Exactly the way that I saw him trying to rally the street, rally the crowd, rally his friends to join him on that trip that he was taking out to go to the club at the beginning of all of these visions. He was doing that. The Lord showed footage of him doing that and in other ways for other things. He would say that, don't worry, I will pay for it. Don't worry, I have the car. I will drive you myself. You do not have to worry about the money. You do not have to worry about the transportation. And the Lord also exposed that the rug that I was seeing, you know, that massive object that I talked about right in the beginning of the vision, that I was wondering, why does it look like a rug, a rolled up rug? So the Lord showed the footage of this rug before it was rolled up and packaged, that drugs were put in the rug. I don't know how to explain it, but it was packed inside the fibers of the rug. And this is how he concealed drugs and transported drugs. And when all of this finished, so some of the evidence, it was not all of it, because he had just been a few points that were selected, and this young boy had a long list of transgressions that he had not repented for, so they remained recorded on that scroll. See, this is why you must repent, because repenting is like that transgression getting blotted out by the blood of Jesus. But this young man had been transgressing and got bolder and bolder in his transgressions. And even just for the transgression of the night before, the Lord had not even been asking him to repent for all of the other transgressions, just for what he had done the evening before. And he went into his vindictiveness and his arrogance, and he got struck down for it. And knowing and seeing this long list of transgressions, it means that there had been other instances that he had been brought forward in the same way and for which he did not repent. So the Lord, it was just the strike, you know, it was the transgression that was just too much, that the Lord said, okay, I've given you chance after chance after chance. It's good. You're done, basically. And he died. And when at a point where they stopped rolling the videos and everything, and the scroll was starting to be repackaged, if we can say that, so it was being rolled back on itself. It did all of this by itself. No one was touching it, nothing. And the thread was coming to tie it back the way that it was originally, before the scroll had been closed and restored to its original state. Those two others who were still standing out there in front of the altar before the Lord, they fell to the ground. They dropped, prostrate, laying on the floor before the Lord. And they began to repent. They began to beg him, you know, repentance, supplication for forgiveness. The entire, even people in the assembly got on their knees and began to repent. People in the crowd started to pray and repent, Father, forgive me, and so on and so forth. The entire thing, the entire place transformed itself in a repentance service. And this is where the visions ended. And the banner, the banner scripture that the Lord gave me for this prophecy was Isaiah 13, verse 11. It is written, I will punish the world for its evil, the wicked for their sins. I will put an end to the arrogance of the haughty and will humble the pride of the ruthless. So, this is what the Lord gave as a banner scripture for this prophecy. Clearly from the prophecy, we observe a few things. The first thing is the fact that Israel, the people who will make it back, will be holy and righteous. Because when I tell you that these people were shocked, it is not today's world. The things that were shown there, you show it to someone today, people will tell you that he did not even sin. Christians will defend this man in this world today. Am I lying? Well, he was just going out and having fun. What is wrong about that? Wouldn't Christians say that? Because they also do that. In today's church, in today's Israel, you show that to the average Christian, you show that to the average person of Judah, they will tell you that, well, maybe the drug thing, we are maybe taking money for the prostitution stuff, but I mean, he was not the one who was dealing it, he just got the money. People will start explaining things that make no sense and justifying things that cannot be justified. But the people in this vision did not do that. These were people who knew God's laws. They knew his rules. They knew his ways. And when I tell you the shock that I was seeing on those people's faces, these are people who knew better than to do any of the things that this young man did. And that is what is spoken about in Isaiah 48, 3 to, this is what is spoken about in Zephaniah 3, where the Lord talks about the kind of people who will make it back to Israel. And I'm going to read it out for you. Zephaniah 3, please give me a second. I need to find it. Zephaniah 3, starting from verse 8, thus says the Lord, therefore wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up for plunder. My determination is to gather the nations to my assembly of kingdoms, to pour on them my indignation, all my fierce anger. All the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Verse 9 says, so the Lord is talking here about his wrath that he will unleash upon the earth, which he will do. This is what has been talked about from the different prophets, that is called the day of the Lord, the day of judgment. And then verse 9 says, for then I will restore to the peoples a pure language, that they all may call on the name of the Lord to serve him in one accord. So he's talking about those of his people who will make it out of that wrath, who will make it out of the tribulation. Those people will be restored a pure language. And then he talks next about the regathering. He says, from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshippers. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshippers, the daughter of my dispersed ones, shall bring my offering. In that day, you shall not be ashamed for any of your deeds in which you transgress against me. For then I will take away from your midst those who rejoice in your pride, and you shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain. The Lord is talking about the purging process that will happen in the church and in Israel. Those who are prideful, those who are haughty, those who are sinful will be removed. They will be removed before they are brought back into Israel. That is why the people that I was seeing in this vision were so shocked at what was happening, because none of this kind of behavior was allowed before you could even get into the place. But clearly this was a young man. This was probably a man, that a young boy that was brought to regathered Israel when he was still a teenager or a preteen. And for whatever reason, some demon got into this young boy and he started to act this way, that is outside of the Lord's statute, with failure to repent for it. So this boy was living amongst them and no one knew really what he was about. No one knew, because he was rallying the town to go to party, but he was not really telling them where he was going. He was just saying, there is this cool thing, this really, really cool thing. But people did not know that it was to go out to club or go out to be prostituted. They didn't know. He was just talking about nice things that will happen. And it makes me think about the beginning of the vision where he's doing that to the people and no one is joining him. No one. So people had spiritual discernment. They had a discernment. They had that clock inside of them to know that this is no good. It was that young girl who apparently did not have that. And there are usually going to be such weaker souls who get ensnared by evil and decide to partake, not even knowing what they are getting themselves into. And the Lord is showing in this vision how he will take care of such people. First of all, you will not even make it if you are one of those people and the regathering has not happened yet. The Lord is saying here in Zephaniah that he will remove you. You will not make it into the holy nation. This is what he said here in chapter 11. And we see from the vision that those who will make it, and then maybe their descendants, the children who will still be young and who will grow up not on the right path, or something happens that you lose your track. You know, at the end of the day, we are humans, right? We are going to sin because no one is perfect. It is God, it is Jesus Christ who makes us righteous. But we have a responsibility to be living in a certain way and to have a certain humility and submission to God. And he talks about it here in the rest of this verse, which I will read in a moment. But the Lord, as he rules over us in that place, in the new regathered Israel, if you are going to be ensnaring people, doing what this young boy was doing, and trying to get other people to do it with you, the judgment will be prompt. And it was not even prompt when you look at the long list of infractions, of transgressions. The Lord, in his goodness, as always, is patient. He gave this young man so many opportunities. And who is that not our story today? The amount of opportunities that the Lord keeps giving you, and he keeps giving you, and he keeps giving you to do better, to repent, to make different choices. But you keep going around saying that, no, you're just partying. No, I'm just going to the concert. What is wrong with the concert? What is wrong with going to the movies? There is nothing wrong with that. You people are too extremist. You people are... Look... He will strike you down. Continue playing with God. The Lord says here in chapter 11, he's talking about the regathering in this scripture. In chapter 10, he says, "From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshippers, the daughters of my dispersed ones, shall bring my offering. In that day, you shall not be shamed for any of your deeds in which you transgress against me." So he's saying that you will repent, you will be cleansed, and I will not hold you ashamed of that. But rather, I will restore you. Your transgressions will be forgiven. You have to see that the context of this is being told by Isaiah when the Messiah is not yet there. This is what the Messiah has made possible for us, that we would not be shamed for our deeds, but that our transgressions will be forgiven through the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross. But now the Lord is talking about what will happen to those of us who will want to remain in their pride, in the pride of saying, well, he was just going to the club. What was wrong about that? The pride of saying, I'm just going to live my life. You know, there is nothing wrong about it. This thing that you say in the Bible, are you really sure that it is that? Is the Bible really, really true? Are you sure that the Bible is true? He will cut your tongue off. Keep talking like that. Keep talking that way. One day you will drop dead. Because, look, listen. Verse 11 says, "In that day you shall not be ashamed. You shall not be shamed for any of your deeds in which you transgress against me. For then I will take away from your midst. I will take away from your midst those who rejoice in your pride." Is that not what he did to that little girl, the friend of that boy, who began to be mad because he received the judgment, the punishment for his repeated, unrepented transgressions? She became mad. So what did he do? He removed her too, because she was one of the people who rejoiced in his pride. That young boy was proud, and his friend was also proud. So both of them had to go. And it continues, "And you shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain." Yes, I know that your pastor does not tell you about this God. But this God is the God you serve. This is not another person. It is not another God. It is not some version of the Old Testament. The Lord is showing here the future. He's showing us in I don't know how many decades, or I don't know how long it's going to take for us to be regathered and restored. And he's showing that the same person that I was, declaring these things in Isaiah, the same person I am today, showing this thing to my daughter in August 2024, and the same person I will be whilst I rule over my people as their God and their King and their Father in I don't know how many years. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he does not tolerate sin and unrighteousness, especially when you do it with pride, with vindictiveness, with self-righteousness, and with arrogance, which was the case of the two people who lost their lives in this vision. And verse 12 says, "I will live in your midst, a meek and humble people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. They shall trust in the name of Yahweh. The remnant of Israel shall do no unrighteousness and speak no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed their flocks and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid." You see, it is this remnant that had made it, that will make it into the new Israel, the restored Israel. This is why in this vision, every other person was shocked at the sight of what was being done, because these things will not be tolerated. The people who will make it into Israel are the people who will hate sin. Do you hate sin? There are people who would have purged themselves, that the Lord will have purged so much, cleansed with his refiner's fire. That fire would have burnt off every piece of pride in them, burnt off every piece of unrighteousness in them, that what will be left is only what the Lord has spoken here. I will live in your midst a meek and humble people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall do no unrighteousness and speak no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. And for they shall feed their flocks and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid. So they will be at peace. They will be in harmony with each other, in harmony with God. No deceitful tongue, no lies, no unrighteousness. These are the people who were so shocked in that temple. So are you that way today? When you see two men kissing, are you shocked by it? You don't need, well, I mean, we have to live through that, don't we? But do you feel the kind of rejection of sin that God feels? Do you feel that? Do you feel a rejection of seeing a transgender man walking around telling you that he's a woman? How does your spirit respond to it? Do you say, oh, just leave these people do what they want to do, right? Or does your spirit tell you, you know this is wrong, this is unrighteousness? We reject it, I reject it, I rebuke it, and I cancel it, and I wash myself with the blood of Jesus, that no element of this man's madness will come near me. Call me transphobic, I don't even care. First of all, a phobia is when you're scared of something. I'm not scared of trans people. I'm not scared of gay people. I'm not scared of people who live a reprobate lifestyle. I am not. Call me names, I do not care. What I know is that I will be part of that remnant, and I will reject sin with every fiber in my being. Because failure to reject sin, it will start creeping on you. When you don't reject it, when you do not flee from sin, it starts creeping on you. It starts tempting you, where you think you live a lifestyle where you think going to the club is fine. The club is a satanic altar. The music that is played there, the drugs that are traded there, the sex that happens there, nothing good comes out of the place called the nightclub, the strip club, or whatever other clubbing you do. It is a Satan's club. It all falls under the banner of Satan's club. So, this young man was struck down for these sins, and no one was shocked. In that assembly, no one was shocked. Everyone was like, mm-hmm. So it means that they know the standards. The people of Israel will be people who know righteousness. They know holiness. They know God's standards. Do you know his standards today? If you are not one of those people, he will do just like he said here. You will be removed. And you've seen in this dream how the Lord removes. You see, we are in the time of the judgment of the earth. There are things you cannot afford to do without repenting of it. You will lose your life. I am not saying this lightly. You will lose your life. You cannot carelessly sin, not in this time. One day you will wake up, there will be an alien sleeping next to you. He will open your stomach and eat your intestines. And that would have been judgment because you have refused to walk. There is nothing covering you. God cannot cover you because you are filthy. You are sinful and pridefully sinful. That's the problem. Even if God wanted to protect you, you have rejected him because you have embraced sin, and sin and God do not cohabitate. Look, my friends, I already told you here that this is the fruit factory. When you hear factory is a place that produces something on an industrial level. So this is the place where Jesus Christ himself wants to produce a people who will be so radically attached to him that they will produce fruit at an industrial level. And you will not do that if you are complacent with sin. You need to become allergic to sin. You need to become allergic to telling lies. That your mouth wants to speak a lie and you slap your mouth and you say, shut up. Can you do that? So, I will leave you with this scripture. Isaiah 48, verses 3 to 7, which states, I have declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth from my mouth, and I caused them to hear it. Suddenly I did them, and they came to pass, because I knew that you were obstinate, and your neck was as iron sinew, and your brow bronze. Even from the beginning I have declared it to you. Before it came to pass, I proclaimed it to you, lest you should say, my idol has done them, and my carved image and my molded image have commanded them. You have heard, see all this, and will you not declare it? I have made you hear new things from this time, even hidden things, and you did not know them. They are created now and not from the beginning, and before this day you have not heard them, lest you should say, of course I knew them. This scripture is saying that the Lord is showing us these things so that when they happen, we will not say that someone else has done it. You will not be able to find some type of legal human logic to what will happen. But it will be because God did it. God wants the credit for his work. That is why prophecy exists. So that the credit will go to God. So when we are regathered, and those people that he spoke about in this scripture of Zephaniah 3, the people who will be removed, as they are removed, you will see your parent die. And you will know that God did what he said that he will do. That those who remain prideful, haughty, sinful, and unrighteous, they will be removed. This is not a time to play with God. If you're still doing wobbly, weak Christianity, please pack up and prepare for the lake of fire. Start packing your bags. That is where you're going. Prepare for hell. And you're definitely not going to make it into those gates. And whichever child you bring into those gates, that you do not train in the ways of the Lord. And they end up like this little boy ended up. You have seen their fate. So if you want to preserve your life and preserve your children's life, you will come correct with God today. And you will start sitting and having morning devotionals with your children every morning. Wake them up 30 minutes in advance. Because they will not be excused just because they are children. Or just because they came into Israel when they were young. If they grow up in Israel and they have failed to receive the right training, like this young man has in this vision, they will be struck down. So, this is what I had to share with you today in this prophecy. And I invite you to go and read the prophecy on the website, The title is Guilty on All Counts. Or rewind this audio and listen to it again. Because the Lord is not showing these things for nothing. He's showing these things that we might prepare ourselves and that we might be aware of what is upcoming. He's showing these things for the reasons that I just read to you from Isaiah 48. I have declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth from my mouth and I caused them to hear it. And then suddenly I did them and it came to pass. The Lord has every intention to accomplish every word that he makes me speak through these prophecies. And the Lord says again, I declare these former things from the beginning because I knew that you were obstinate. And your neck was as an iron sinew and your brow as bronze. So you had a hard, hard forehead, very difficult to penetrate, very difficult to impact. So he's saying you these things in advance so that you yourself can break that iron neck and soften yourself and humble yourselves before the Lord. Because this is your fate. He has spoken what your fate will be. And he's showing you what your children's fates will be in Israel. If you make it, you have a responsibility to also make sure that your children will stay alive there. Your children. Right now, you are the guardian. You have the responsibility to train them. And the Lord is not going to excuse unrighteousness and pride simply because, oh, well, when they arrived here, they were children. You should have done the necessary to preserve your seed, and you didn't. So they will die the way this young man died. The Lord will not entertain sin in that place. He has said it many times that the remnant will be blameless. He does not entertain sin now, and he's most definitely not going to allow these kinds of things to happen in his holy nation. The place is called a holy nation for a reason, because it is going to be holy. This is why this boy needed this big car, this big caravan, to carry people around to neighboring countries, neighboring towns, because these are not things that happened on the Lord's nation. On his land, you will not see nightclubs and I don't know what else, prostitution and drunkenness and such. And the people were very wise not to get in that car, except for that little girl. And she was very wise in the end to fall prostrate before the Lord and repent. So, I invite you to subscribe to the Fruitful Report, which is a new weekly newsletter that I send every Tuesday to those who will desire to keep up to date or stay up to date with the prophetic word of Jesus Christ on this platform. It is a simple email with a full report of the previous published prophecies from the week before. You get it directly from me. There is no spam. There are no random emails. It is not a devotional. There is no advertising. There is no random email of the week or any such thing. It is one email a week with a full report, point after point, of the prophecies that were published, with a link where you can click and go and listen or go and read. The Lord made me set up this newsletter for you all, his people. He said that he wants you to remain connected to his word. And the prophecies are coming at such an intense rate, you will have to make sure that you are up to date. Because if you're part of the 5% that he told me will make it, the remnant, he told me the percentage, 5%. And the 5% are the people who would go that extra mile to make sure that they are well grounded, well prepared, and have an iron faith in Jesus Christ. And this place was created for that. the food factory was created for that. So if you want to subscribe to that, you can go to thefruitfactory.co/report. I will add the link in the description bar of this episode. And if you'd like to support the ministry with your tithe or just an offering, that is very appreciated. And God bless you for that. And to do that, you simply go to thefruitfactory.co/giving. I will also add the link in the description. You are not forced to do this. It is out of your own free will and out of your own generosity of heart. It is not a must. I will never take money to do this ever in my life. But you can support God's work according to whatever you want to do out of your own free will. So thank you for tuning in. My name is Elvira. I am the Lord's servant for this work at the Fruit Factory, which is a prophecy and teaching ministry that is helmed by the Lord Jesus himself. I thank you for tuning in, and I will speak to you in the next broadcast. Goodbye.